Let's go to John 20. Then there's something else I want to show you that we'll talk about tomorrow. And come down to the 24th verse. We talked about this, but I wanted you to see it. Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." That's an act of his will. After 8 days, 8 days had gone by, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He stood up, he just walked literally. Now, in my mind, I don't see him just appearing there. I think he walked through that wall. That'd get your attention. He just walked through the wall. There he is. Stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and behold my hands. Reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Now that's a fundamental of faith right there. Believe and have not seen. Amen. Yes. Now, let's go to the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. Thank you, Jesus. You get anything out of this?
Yes. Amen.
I am. Now, this is a day, and came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, came out of the ship. Immediately there met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He went through all of that. And come out of the man, "You unclean spirit," he said, "What is your name?" He answered and said, "My name is Legion, we're many." He besought them, they would not send them out of the country. They were there under the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, now everybody heard the first time, but Jesus is the only one who heard this. "And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that he may enter into them. And Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd went violently down a steep place into the sea. There's about 2,000, they drowned in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. They went out to see what was done. Came to Jesus and see him possessed with the devil and the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. So now he departed and went to publish it Decapolis, the 10-city area, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And then if you follow later, when Jesus was back there, that I mean, instead of asking him to leave, I mean, this man did his job. There were multitudes that came from the same place. And so they departed. Then Jesus went again, the ship to the other side. Much people gathered unto him. He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet Now, put these things together. Jairus was ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum, where Cornelius had built the synagogue. We don't know his name until you get over in the book of Acts, but he's the one that said, this must be the Son of God at the crucifixion. Same man, centurion. We would liken him today as a garrison commander. He was in command of at least 100 men. And so when you put those things together, now watch this. And there was Jairus when he saw him. I mean, he just, the ruler of the synagogue, I mean, they just docked the boat. It just came across over there right next to Gadara and fixed that deal. Came across the Galilee to home as Capernaum. That was his home. Ruler of the synagogue. Well, obviously, he was ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum where Jesus would have ministered. Now, it was in Nazareth where he got in trouble, but not in Capernaum. Anyway, so he came there and he fell at his feet. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, wait a minute. He said it, right? He said it. He fell at his feet right there on the edge of the water and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. That she may be healed and she shall live. He said it. Right then. And Jesus went with him. Sure he did. And much people followed him and thronged him. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, how do we know? Because she told him. And had suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So it's obvious she forgave the physicians. See, she had to have. Because of what Jesus is about to say here, she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or dunamis, power. We get our word dynamite from it. It's a Greek word. Had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? All the disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging thee and say, who touched me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you can see that she could have been stoned for being out there in public. She's considered unclean. And there's the leader of the synagogue right there. So what'd she do? Now you think about it. She's skin and bone. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She could have said all of that and said, well, I just can't do it. I know it would, but she didn't put a corresponding action to it. She would have died right there in her own room, bled to death again. But she crawled out there thinking nobody's going to see it. I'm just going to touch the hem of that garment and I'm going to skinny back out of here. And Jesus said, somebody touch me. Amen. Amen. For she said it. Straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down and told him all the truth. Now, Jairus is right there. He's not saying anything. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Your daughter's dead. Why trouble thou the master any further?" Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Jairus did not open his mouth. He said it. Jesus went with him. As soon as Jesus heard what was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." He suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Why? He didn't want anybody in there without faith, because there's a lot of crying and moaning and groaning going in there. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith to them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, she sleeps." What did he do? He said it. Now you know why he got everybody out of there. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumai," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." What did he do? He took her by the hand. "Lay your hands on her and she'll live." He took her by the hand and spoke. Straightway, she arose and walked. She was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that they should give her something to eat. Now, why would he tell somebody that? I heard somebody say, "Well, he was just using reverse psychology so he could get a crowd." He didn't have any problem getting a crowd. No, he didn't want to take credit for it. You just give the Father credit. Just don't be telling this all over the place. Amen. Because he said, "I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do what I see my Father do." That day he went into the temple. He went in there. Didn't do or say anything. And he went back to Bethany. He came back the next day and he cleaned that place up. So that was, he knew then what the problems were. And now, faith calls things that be not as though they were. Now, Greg, in my new book, is God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction. And we talk about the covenants and the first covenant and all of its ramifications and all of the years that it took to build it together and so that it would, it's looking to Jesus. He's in every book of the Bible. And you go all the way through it to get the perfect time for him to come into the earth and be born. Where? You don't know where he was born? Christmas is coming, you'll find out. Why was he born in Bethlehem? Huh? What? What about the prophet Micah? Bethlehem Estrada. It was spoken where he would be born.
Yes.
Now, once the God said that through that prophet, that word governed armies, governed for 715 years. It governed armies and wars and all of these things. And so at the proper time, it was in Bethlehem. And they just suddenly decided to have a roll call. And there was no room for them at the inn. Why? Oh, how many of you girls have had children? Did you ever have one ride a donkey for 90 miles before you? Hey, and you have to take your facilities along with you. And she is on a donkey. Come on. Well, that's better than walking, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
Under certain conditions.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it was slow going. 90 miles. But from there to Jerusalem for the 8th day circumcision, something like 8 miles. That's all the difference in the world. But heaven already had all this planned.
Yes.
But it had to be spoken by a prophet in order to control it. So what were the prophets of old? They came to give you something to say.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obey the prophets. How? By speaking what they said.
Amen.
But now we have the book.
Yes, we did.
So there it is. And you come down to that. I wanted you to see that everything in this book, heaven had planned it before the foundation of the world. He had it planned that there would be one day a company called National Old Line Insurance Company in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yep.
And this little girl over in Center Point, Arkansas, born in her grandfather's home, named Gloria Jean Neese, the oldest of 7. And that her dad would go to World War II, come back, and have 6 more.
Wow.
And so finally, I had some brothers and sisters.
Wow.
What precious family. And people say, well, you can't have your family working for you. You can when you have that kind of family. And it's been a marvelous thing all these years. The fundamentals of faith. Abraham's blessing cannot be received with Thomas's faith. He said, stop being faithless. Say this, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe the Word of God. I'm a believer.
I'm not a
doubter. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, the Anointed One. And His anointing dwells in me. And the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body. I'm saved by grace. I walk in grace. I believe God. He believes in me, and I believe in Him. I believe in His written word. And He believes in my written word. When it's His word that I write. Ha ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
These words from heaven coincide. Words are not primarily for communication. Words are spiritual containers. Their primary use is to release love and power and joy and the goodness of God.
Amen, amen.
But they can release hate and sorrow. And somebody says, oh, I'm so sorry I said that. Well, I am too, because you can't get it back. I know, I've been there. I did it. But somewhere down the line, it was a very, very important. And thank God I learned it from Gloria Jean. To take authority over my own mouth. And only speak kind and lovely words. Amen. Somebody said, you wouldn't even say anything bad about the devil to Brother Hagin. He said, well, he is a persistent cuss. No, he said, I really have to wash my mouth. And I learned that. Early on, the first little house we had, Gloria came in. This man selling cantaloupes. I really like cantaloupes. She had a whole sack full of them. And she brought those cantaloupes in. I was in a meeting and preparing for my evening service. And I was sitting up there. And all of a sudden, I just had this vision. I could see this pipe right up in front of my face, and there was this gush coming up the end of it, and this coming and hitting me in the face, and in the spirit, I could feel it. I said, what is that? He said, unforgiveness. Lord, what are you talking about? He brought this up to me. So Gloria stopped and bought a whole sack full of cantaloupe. Took the top two off, and they were wonderful. All the rest of them in that sack were rotten. Give me that sack. I'm going to go down there and spank him. She said, no, you're not. Put that down. And the Lord said, you need to forgive him. Okay. See what I'm talking about? Little grains of it. He said it's like little grains of sand. And he said, that pipe is your spirit and little grains of unforgiveness. And he said, it's in there and it's got it plugged up where I can't get through to you with my glory.
The world around you says you've got to look out for yourself and compete to survive. But God's plan for you is the opposite. He created you to abide in the power of His love. Learn how God's peace and prosperity flow freely in your life when you know and believe the love He has for you. In this series, Kenneth Copeland will show you from the Word of God how love makes a way. No matter what challenges and obstacles arise, it positions you to succeed. Walking in love is tied to receiving the blessing of the Lord. Train your mind to stay in alignment with Him and the understanding that He loves you without limits. When you are born again, you were recreated in His image. You have the same spiritual DNA as Jesus, and that means you can now walk in love with God and people, just like Him. Enter into His rest and let the blessing work in your life. Know and believe God's love for you. Know and Believe the Love by Kenneth Copeland will answer your questions and convince you beyond any doubt that the love God has for you is without limits. Receive your copy free on MP3 or DVD at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God is love, and love is the most powerful thing on the earth and throughout the universe. 1 John 4:18 tells us, perfect love casts out fear. So, love doesn't just cover up fear, it completely flushes it out. When you take hold of the promise in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can live in God's love where fear is no longer a way of life for you. It starts by choosing Jesus and receiving him into your heart and making him the Lord and Savior of your life. Pray with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit, and I receive my new language. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Praise God. You are born again and you have the love of God in you now. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit filled your heart with his love. Today is the start of your new life in him, and the old way of living is gone and everything is new. So, to help you understand more about the miracle that just took place in you, Kenneth Copeland Ministries would like to send you the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All for You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and some information to help guide you in reading and studying your Bible. It's important to read your Bible every day and get to know the love that God has for you. Spend time learning who you are in Christ and what belongs to you as a child of God. Let those promises get into your heart and build your faith and trust in God. Go to kcm.org to request your free salvation package. While you're online, let us know you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Share your testimony with us so that we can rejoice with you. You can also call our prayer line if you need prayer. Our prayer ministers are licensed and trained in the Word to pray in faith with you. Set your heart and mind on God's promises for you and your family. And I just want to say thank you for joining us today. And until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you received Jesus into your heart and made him the Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Receive your free package on kcm.org/salvation.